worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think about what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord! How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior! For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. Verses 26 to 56, Luke chapter 1. Father, we thank you for this glorious account in your word of two mothers coming together to serve you, to fellowship with you. And thank you for this account, which also has the wonderful story of Gabriel bringing word to Mary, young Mary, that she would be the mother of the Messiah. And Lord, thank you for the many insights, truths, lessons, and truths that we can learn and draw from this powerful passage. More and more, help us to be a people that hear your word and accept your word and obey your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience. Empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your scriptures and for your word. Father, thank you so much that you would reveal yourself through Mary, that you would reveal yourself through her prayers. Father, thank you so much that you revealed yourself through Jesus to us so that we can get to know you more. Father, we come to you now to ask about your ways, to get to know you and to spend time with you. Father, you call us friends now, those who are covered in Jesus' blood and adopted into your family. So thank you so much for this opportunity, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to share with our listeners, if you'd like to get copies of articles that we've written that relate to or that especially minister to or would be encouraging to mothers, we would invite you to do that. Simply email me. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Just a few of the titles I want to mention is Life, the first article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. Another one, A Mother's Journey of Faith. Another one, The Ten Commandments Project, What Mama Taught Me. And a few others as well. Again, articles that focus on the topic of Christian motherhood or related topics. Simply email us at that email. We'd be glad to share them with you for you to read and maybe even to pass on to your mom to bless and encourage her. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. Father, thank you again for this season of the year, a special time of year in which we, in a unique way, focus on and appreciate the gift of mothers and motherhood in the body of Christ. Father, flood us with mercy, grace, and peace. Help us, Lord, to genuinely express the gratitude and appreciation that you'd have us to our mothers and to the ministry that mothers bring to the body of Christ. More and more, stir every mother listening. Anoint them afresh with the Spirit of grace that they would be all that you'd have them to be as mothers called to live a life glorifying you in their capacity as a mom. Thank you for your goodness, thank you for your grace, and thank you for the gift of every mom in the world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. And so I would encourage you, after we read through them and share some insights from the different passages, I'd encourage you to take time to go back and read through the same passages that we'll be sharing. Because remember, obviously, there are insights and truths that mothers can learn from them, but also these are many times they're insights and truths that any and every believer can learn about faith, putting our faith to work, and prayer as well. So again, as we look at the topic again, lessons on faith and prayer from mothers of the Bible, we invite you to look with us to begin with in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of Heaven's armies, If you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." "Whatever you think is best," Elkanah agreed. "Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, all of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. Lord, thank you for this powerful and blessed account in the Word of God of a young mother or young wife who simply wanted to be the mother of a little boy. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you placed that desire on her heart. And as she took the time to come to you in prayer, you spiritually and literally birthed that child through her prayer life. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to learn more and more to birth the matters that you place in our heart into the world through our prayer lives. Help us to know that so many important things happen only as your people pray and birth them in prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that, again, one of the wonderful ways whereby your will comes to pass in the world, as you place the desires and the issues and concerns on the hearts of your people, and they take the time to pray and birth them in prayer, that they come to pass. Teach us to be a people that live a lifestyle of doing that over and over again. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. We'll be right back.
What if it's God speaking? with a stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. And we finished our reading 1 Samuel chapter 1, the powerful and the beautiful story of Hannah, a young wife who wanted to be the mother of a little boy. And amongst other things, some powerful lessons on prayer can be drawn from this powerful account in the Word of God. And note, too, that, you know, Hannah appears near the beginning of 1 Samuel, and basically she fades from the picture, of course, obviously passes away. But the fact is, God uses her to establish a wonderful legacy of prayer. But just again to draw out the story, a man by the name of Elkanah has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah had a number of children, but Hannah was barren up to this point. And Hannah longed to be the mother of a little boy. And note, too, you know, in this account, we see where Hannah's upset about it. And, of course, the fact is the other wife would make fun of her and taunt her. And so that just made a tough situation even worse. And, you know, but one of the truths we can draw from this insight, this story, is that, you know, we can be upset about our problems. We can complain about them. We can get on Facebook to talk about them, and we can just complain over and over again. But the reality is, it wasn't until Hannah was wise enough to go to God in prayer with her concern, with the issue that was on her heart, that something happened. Something important changed for the good. Hannah was obviously upset over a period of time, but longed to be the mother of a little boy. But it was when she took the time to go to the Lord in prayer that things did change. She went to God in prayer. And notice this now, of course, sadly, the situation with Penina, she made fun of her. She had several children. And note to Elkanah, her husband, what he said really didn't help the situation. Note again what specifically her husband, in the midst of her crying and being upset, notice how Elkanah reacts, picking up at verse 8. It says, "Why are you crying, Hannah? Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" Now, of course, one might would think Elkanah might win the prize for dumb things husbands should never, ever say. First place in that contest, especially when she's upset. Well, Elkanah wasn't helping the situation either. But when Hannah decided to go to God in prayer, that's when things changed. She went to God in prayer, and specifically, she basically made a vow to God. Her vow was this: "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." So Hannah makes a vow to God, basically letting God know, "God, you give me a son, and I'll give him back to you. I'll dedicate him back to you for his whole life." What a wise way for a mother to pray for her child. The fact is, it's a wise thing to give your children to God. And the fact is, as parents, dads and moms, we have authority over our children in the sense of spiritual matters. And this is something certainly any parent can do for their child: dedicate them and commit them to God. And that's a wise thing. I would say every parent should do that, because the fact is, God desires us to give not only our children, but our all to him in prayer. And so when we're wise enough to do that, then God can do some miraculous things with that wonderful vow and kind of commitment. Let's take a moment now specifically to do that. I want to invite every parent to pray this prayer with me, dedicating your children to the Lord. Lord, thank you for each of the children you've entrusted to us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to be guides, counselors, molders, and shapers of our children. Father, thank you for each of these children you've entrusted to us for a short period of time. Father, right now, by faith, we dedicate each of them back to you. As long as they're alive, Lord, they are lent to you. They're your property. We place them in your hands, and we ask that you'd use them to accomplish your perfect will in them and through them for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, note this: some important insights and truths to be drawn from prayer is that prayer is a wonderful tool that God uses to get his work done in the world. And one of the interesting insights about prayer is that God will place desires on the hearts of his people. And many times that those desires are placed, as I said, by the Lord. And when we're wise enough to come to God in prayer and give those concerns to God in prayer and ask God for them through prayer, it's like we're basically giving God back what he gave us to begin with. We're committing it to him. And when we do that, again, the will of God can get done in the earth. So many times those desires in our hearts are straight from God, and he's waiting on us to bring them to him in prayer. And as once we pray for them in line with his will, not only is God willing to answer, God wants to answer that prayer more than you want it answered. Keep in mind, during this time, there were some corrupt spiritual leaders in the land of Israel. God desired a faithful servant that he could raise up that would be committed to him. And so God found a young wife who longed to be a mother, who made a wise commitment of committing her child to the Lord for all the days of his life. And so in prayer, she made that commitment, and God was waiting on that. Not only did he give Hannah a son, but she gave her a prophet, a little prophet that became a great, great blessing to the nation of Israel. Well, and so Hannah prayed that prayer, and not too long after that, the fact is Hannah did in fact conceive, and between she and Elkanah, they had a little boy by the name of Samuel that she named him. And the fact is, once he was weaned, Hannah did bring Samuel to the temple and left him there basically to live in the temple, and Eli watched over the little boy. And the fact is, she placed Samuel in the hands of God, and God took him and used him mightily for the building of his kingdom and his glory. And amongst other things, not only did Samuel become a great man, great prophet, a great servant of the Lord, a judge of Israel, but also Samuel was a great man of prayer. And so Hannah had birthed not only a son, but a legacy of prayer, because Samuel too, he too became a great man of prayer as a servant of the Lord. Also interesting in this chapter is it mentions that Elkanah and Hannah and Peninnah lived in Ramah. And also they left Ramah and came to Shiloh, specifically where Eli and his two sons were serving the Lord. Well, Ramah means spoken word. Shiloh means peace. And so, you know, the fact is, as believers, not only should we read and meditate on the Word of God, we're wise to speak the promises of God's Word often. So the word Ramah reminds us of the importance of speaking God's Word. You know, as many believers, I think, never have learned the very important lesson that we should speak the promises of God by faith over our lives every day, fully expecting God to keep His Word. When God promises something, God means it. Our job is to believe that God can do His job, and He will do His job. So Rhema is the spoken word. And so as believers, we're wise to live lifestyles of speaking God's word over our lives, over our children, over our circumstances, because there's power in doing that. And note too, Hannah found peace when she came to Shiloh, which means peace, after she went to God in prayer. And you know, you and I can live a life of much more of God's peace as we learn to pray about the issues and the concerns in our lives. You know, again, the Word of God tells us, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you desire to live a life with peace, in a life full of peace? Be a person given to prayer. Don't worry about issues. Don't be concerned about issues. Don't stay up all night just toiling over how you're going to do something or address a matter. Give it to God in prayer. And once you give a matter to God in prayer, even before you get the answer, you can begin to walk and you can receive and walk in His peace. How important it is that we be a people that do that. Father, thank you for the fact that you've called every one of your children to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be just that. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the praying church you've called us to be. Father, teach us, Lord, that so many important things get done in your kingdom, in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, when your people take prayer seriously. Set us on fire with the spirit of prayer. More and more help us to be believers that learn that are learning and growing in our understanding of how that so many things will get done when we, your people, pray and listen and obey what you call us to do. Father, more and more teach us to pray. More and more help us to grow in our understanding of how to live a lifestyle filled with prayer. Lord, teach us how to obey the command in which you told us, pray without ceasing. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of being people given to doing just that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. I want to remind every mother, actually mother and father listening as well too, my encouragement to you is that you'll take time to pray Psalm 91 every day over yourself and over your family as well. Because remember, amongst other things, Psalm 91 is a unique scripture that you can pray over yourself and over your family that can be used of God to bless your physical health, to minister grace and healing to your body, but also for supernatural protection. Remember, we live in a dangerous, crazy world that's dangerous for so many different reasons and dangerous in so many different places. Even places where you think you might be safe, the reality is so many times dangers are lurking nearby. But no one can protect you like God can. So my encouragement to you is that every day of your life, when you get up in the morning, amongst other things, take the time to pray Psalm 91 over yourself and over your family. You're wise to do that. And also, praying the prayer of Jabez every day over yourself and over each of your children is a wise thing to do as well. Again, obviously, Psalm 91 is found in Psalm 91. The prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. We'll be right back. Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. And we, again, are encouraging you as mothers and believers, period, that more and more that we would live lives given to prayer. God told us in the Word, pray without ceasing. And we're wise to pray daily that more and more the Lord would teach us how to obey that command. Father, more and more with every passing day, teach us to be a people, to live a lifestyle of obeying that command. Teach us how, empower us by your Spirit to do it as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to take time now specifically to pray Psalm 91. And again, we're encouraging every mom listening and actually every other believer as well, you're wise to pray Psalm 91 literally every day over yourself and over your family as well. Lord, thank you for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those persons that we've lifted up in prayer today. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler, and so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us, to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Praise God, praise God. And keep in mind, too, if you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, simply email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And our encouragement to you, again, is every day of your life, pray Psalm 91 over yourself and over your family as well. Keep in mind a very important truth to understand, too, about prayer is that when we pray, the way God answers prayer is prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. And remember, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is the hand of God. And God accomplishes things in the world by his hand, whatever he does. He works by his hand. So the hand of God is the Holy Spirit. And so as we pray and as we seek God in prayer, when we pray, just like Hannah prayed, the hand of God moved to bring about the necessary actions for Hannah to both conceive a child, to become pregnant, and birth a little baby boy. And so prayer releases the hand of God, that is the Spirit of God, to work. And the Spirit of God, not only does he bring the answer, he is the answer. He is the answer to your prayers as well. I want to invite you to look with us now in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Verses 1 through 10, Exodus chapter 2. Now, this young mother's name was Jochebed, the mother of baby Moses. And Moses was born during a time, obviously, a time of crisis, a time in which his people were enslaved in the nation of Egypt and were being treated very, very harshly. Pharaoh didn't like the fact that the Hebrew people seemed to be multiplying as fast as they were. God's blessing was on them, and they were multiplying and growing in numbers. And apparently that made Pharaoh nervous to the point where he decided he would have them killed off. And so he had initially tried to have them killed by working through the Hebrew midwife Shipra and Pua in chapter 1. But by the grace of God, they knew better. They knew it was wrong to kill God's beautiful babies, and they refused to do it. And so Pharaoh ended up having to change his whole strategy. So he told them to cast the baby boys into the river. Well, Jochebed and Amram, they had a little baby boy, but they had no intention of having their beautiful little boy thrown into the river. Had no plans of doing that. Hid him for a few months, but then when they saw they could no longer hide him, Jochebed made a waterproof basket and placed Moses in it. Now, I want you to keep in mind what she did. She was by no means expecting him to be put in the river and drowned. Jochebed was not placing her baby up in a hopeless situation. She put her baby boy in the hands of God. And keep in mind, she placed him in a waterproof basket again in the river. And in a very beautiful way. Now, understand, the scripture does not specifically say that Jochebed prayed, but I can imagine that she did pray and say, Lord, I'm placing my little baby boy in your hands. And she might have even prayed, Lord, somehow or another, bring my baby boy back to me. Now, scripture doesn't say that, but I can imagine as a young mom, she did pray a prayer similar to that. But she was placing a son in the hands of God. And keep in mind, the hand of God is the Holy Spirit. And she placed him in the river. And keep in mind, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a river. And when we're wise enough to place our children in the hands of God, that is in the river of the Holy Spirit, then God knows what to do. God had the princess to come at the right time to find the baby Moses, and she finds him and he's crying. And Miriam, Moses' older sister, was not too far away. And when she sees the princess having discovered her little brother, she runs and says, should I find a Hebrew nurse to nurse the baby for you? And she tells her, yes, go get one. And of course, if you can picture this, a possible thing that happened, Miriam saying, Mom, come quick, come quick. What is it, Miriam? Come, Mom, come. And Mom comes and brings her to Pharaoh's daughter, and she can picture her being there thinking, young lady, I'm going to pay you to take care of this little baby boy for me. And if you can think of Jochebed there, her heart leaping for joy, thinking that her little baby boy is about to be not only returned to her where she doesn't have to be in hiding to keep him, she gets paid by the Pharaoh's own treasury to take care of her own little baby boy for a period of time. Only God can orchestrate a beautiful story like that. Only God can do that. Can you picture the princess going to Pharaoh? Pharaoh, can I keep this little baby boy? He's a little Hebrew baby boy, but can I keep him? Well, you know, I wanted them to be destroyed. But if you can picture the daughter saying, oh, Dad, he's just one little baby boy. What? How could one little baby boy make much of a difference? I'm just going to adopt him, Daddy. Is that okay, Daddy? And if you can picture him thinking, maybe saying, well, okay, yeah, what difference could one little baby boy possibly really make? Well, of course, he turns out to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. Again, only God can orchestrate a powerful, wonderful story like that. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful story of Jochebed, a precious mom that wanted to keep and take care of her little baby boy. Thank you for Hannah, a young wife that longed to be the mother of a little boy. And Lord, thank you for the hearts of mothers. And thank you for the fact that mothers and their children and prayer go hand in hand wonderfully. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful gift of mothers who pray for their children, mothers who take care of and nurture and love their children, Lord. Thank you for the many, many important truths and lessons we can draw from simply observing how you anointed and gifted mothers to be mothers who live for your glory. Father, flood our mothers today with your mercy, grace, and peace. Anoint them with the spirit of grace. Empower them more and more to glorify you, to live lives that glorify you as moms in the world. And anoint them and anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that so much in the world gets done when your people give themselves to prayer. Teach us how. Empower us to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been looking today at the topic, Lessons on Faith and Prayer from Mothers of the Bible. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, and you've never committed your life to Christ and been saved, today is a good day, a great day to be saved and to commit your life to Christ. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me and give your life to Jesus today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to email to you and share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely want to hear from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Also, if you're wanting copies of any of the Mother's Day or mother topical related articles that we've shared, simply email us, same email. Again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to send those to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.